Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you please find Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6 today. May also help to find this piece of paper entitled, Like Solomon, Learn to Develop Self-Discipline. Now, I always pray that this sanctuary would be a seminary, so let's start class. And I'm going to give you a pop quiz. All right, here's the first question of the pop quiz. The Bible says there are nine fruits of the Spirit recorded in Galatians 5. What is fruit number nine? It is self-control. You were here at 8:30. Good job. But most of you, of course, knew that. There are nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, self-control is another word for self-discipline. It ties them all together. Without self-control, you'll probably not produce the fruit of love, joy, and peace. That's why it is so important. But where do you get the energy, the strength to produce these fruit? That's found in John 15. Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branch. If you will abide in me, if you'll connect to me, you will produce much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So the way you grow the fruits of the Spirit, and particularly self-control, is you connect to Jesus. After all, Jesus invited 12 people to follow him and to become his disciples. The word disciple is linked to the word discipline. So today we want to focus on how to be a productive Christ follower. We want to replace apathy, laziness, procrastination with diligence and self-control. Let me suggest to you, and if you would please fill in this blank, that the key to peak performance is self-discipline. The key to peak performance is self-discipline. That is a universal truth. But we all know that it requires a lot of effort. It does not happen automatically. No more than growing a garden happens automatically. It takes work. I heard a great story about these guys who are from Wisconsin, and they wanted to go ice fishing. Now, I can relate to that because my brother-in-law took me on an ice fishing excursion up on Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin. Really, it was two trips, my first and last. But you get out there on the ice, and it's freezing cold, and you bore holes down in the ice, and you start fishing. Well, Bill and Joe were out on the ice, and Bill was just catching one fish after the other, just pulling one fish after the other, these walleyes and northern pikes and perch out of this hole. And Joe was catching nothing. He was only 5 feet away. He was catching nothing. And finally, Joe says to Bill, he said, what's the secret? You've caught 50 fish. I've caught nothing. And Bill said, he said, what did you say? He reached up to his mouth and he said, you've got to keep the worms warm. Now, sometimes self-discipline, though leading to productivity, is distasteful. It is hard. But that's what we're going to look at today. Come with me to what this wise man, a biblical hero, Solomon said. Solomon said in Proverbs 6, let's begin in verse 6. He says, go to the ant, you lazy sluggard, and observe her ways and be wise. The ant, which has no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down on your bed, you lazy sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a thief, and your need will be like an armed robber. Let's pray. Father, help us. We desire to be faithful, dynamic disciples, disciplined people who are diligent. Help us to put aside today self-defeating habits like apathy, procrastination, and our natural bent toward laziness. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way and allow your powerful, ever-present Spirit to deposit these truths in the receptive hearts of your children. And I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's begin here. Let me state the obvious. Roman number one, laziness comes naturally. Laziness comes naturally. We all have that bent toward being the lazy slugger. It takes no special talent to sleep in, to be lazy, to act in a way that is dormant, to sit in a lazy boy chair and watch a TV all day long. That is no special talent. But my friends, I want you to understand that laziness and its first cousin, procrastination, are essentially professional thieves. They are quick as a laser, they are quiet as a moonbeam, and they can come to the door of your home, to your office, to your team, and they can pick the lock, come in, and replace productivity with excuses, rationalization, and eventually regret and guilt and shame. You know how it works. You know how this works. For instance, you get on the bathroom scales and they groan as you get on them. And then all of a sudden you look down at this number that's shining back at you and you're just blinking in disbelief. Oh my gracious, I knew I put on a few holiday pounds, but 45 is not what I expected. And then all of a sudden you go into this mode of saying, okay, what do I do now? Let me come up with a plan. And a lot of us come up with a plan and say, I'll start it tomorrow. And let's eat some more Dunkin' Donuts to celebrate the fact that a plan has been crafted. We're not doers of the word. We're hearers of the word. And then I'm prone to give myself credit for just thinking about it. I give myself credit for thinking about doing what's right or exercising or making some improvement. I just give myself credit for thinking about it. I hadn't done it. That's why you deceive yourself if you're not a doer of the word. Well, I would suggest to you that laziness and procrastination will grow some very bad fruit. Let me give you three. Number one, poverty. Poverty. That's what it says here in Proverbs 6, verse 11. And poverty will come like a thief. It will steal in unexpectedly. Laziness, procrastination, misplaced priorities will create poverty in your bank account, poverty in your marriage, poverty in your family and child relationships, poverty in your walk with God. That's why this is such an important topic. Now, here's an important footnote. Not everyone who is financially poor is lazy, by no means. 2.5 billion people live in this world who have an aggregate income of less than $1 a day. So there's massive poverty in this world. That's not linked to laziness, it's linked to social conditions. But the scripture is simply saying here that if there is long-term laziness, there will be eventual poverty. Dr. Scott Peck, who's a brilliant physician, graduate of Harvard Medical School, wrote a book called The Road Less Traveled. And he makes this statement. He said, laziness is the major cause of every failed relationship. Think about it. Relationships are hard. Relationships take work. Let me give you an example. To be a good parent, it requires a lot of discipline and hard work. Because you've got to be engaged. You've got to be engaged with your child. You've got to take them by the hand. You've got to guide them, protect them. You've got to be engaged in their activities. If you're a good parent, you know who your child's teacher is. You know their homework assignments. You know who their friends are. You see, it takes a lot of work to be a good parent. But if you are a poor parent, a lazy parent, a procrastinating parent, I can guarantee you, you will generally raise a child who is in trouble. Laziness in your spiritual walk with God will hurt you. I had an interesting talk with a man recently, and he said they moved to a part of the country where they couldn't find a church, and this man had been a hot-hearted Christian, and he just got away from the body of Christ, the people of God, and the Word of God. He just got really engaged in his work, and next thing you know, 2 years went by, 5 years, 10 years went by, and they were disengaged. And he realized he had drifted so far away from God and had become spiritually indolent and lazy. He had become a spiritual sluggard and a slackard. And he was producing no spiritual fruit. He used to win people to Christ, but it had been years since he even shared his faith. I'm telling you, friends, it takes hard work to grow a family. It takes hard work to grow your own muscles of faith. So laziness will create poverty. Number two, it will also create frustration. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verse 26, like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy person to those who send him. My friend Andy Birchfield is an extraordinarily productive person, and he's the first guy I ever heard make this statement. He said, everyone will bear the burden of discipline or the burden of regret. Let that sink down in your spirit. Every person here will bear one of two burdens, the burden of discipline or the burden of regretting what you didn't make yourself do. That's a great truth. And I've tried to apply that to my own life, and I ask that you apply it to yours. And it certainly means that if you don't engage in discipline, you will frustrate yourself and those who work with you. In the same way that smoke would irritate your eyes, a lazy person that you're counting on in your family, as a teammate, as a workmate, as a church friend, they will irritate you. When I went to seminary, Mary Ruth and I moved to New Orleans Seminary, and we were going to get our education there beginning in 1978. And I needed a job. We had traveled throughout Europe for about 4 months, spent all of our money on this great honeymoon adventure, and it was time to go to work and get in school. So I asked around, and they said if I would go to work for a freight company, they paid 3 times minimum wage. So I thought, okay, same effort, 3 times the pay, I'm in. But they said it's hard to get in. I said, okay, I don't have many talents, but I am persistent. And I got the name of the guy who was the head of Yellow Freight for our area, and I called him in the morning, I called him at night, called him 10 days in a row. On my 21st call, he said, come on in, son, I'll give you a try. The shift started at 11 o'clock. I got there at 10. I got there early. I was ready. And man, I went to work, and it was hard work unloading these big tractor trailers at night in humid New Orleans. Well, about the third night, my partner in unloading this big tractor trailer, I went back to the back at about 3 a.m, and he was snoring. He was like sound asleep snoring. That was smoke in my eyes. I was highly irritated because they put a time limit on how much time we had to get that thing unloaded. And so I realized I was doing it by myself. So he was just lying there, and I kind of kicked his feet, and he rattled awake. And he said some things that aren't in the Bible. And I said, listen, pal, wake up. I mean, they're paying us 3 times minimum wage to get a job done, and it's not fair that I'm doing this by myself. Let's get going. You see, a lazy person will frustrate those people around them. And then, frankly, you become frustrated and disappointed in yourself because you're not doing what you're designed to do. God designed you to be productive. But let's add one more. You see, a third feature of laziness is waste. Poverty, frustration, and waste, the Bible says. Let me refer you to Matthew 25. There Jesus is telling one of the most important parables of all. It's called the parables of the stewards. Jesus tells a story about a wealthy farmer, and he goes off on a journey, and he leaves his place in charge of 3 stewards. And these 3 stewards are given various amounts of money, 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, and another 1. Well, after a certain amount of time, he comes back to check up, and there's an accounting process. And friends, this is a picture of heaven. One day you will give an account of how you've lived your life in front of the Lord. And so Jesus in this picture says the man who had been given 5 talents, he went out and worked hard. And he came up with 5 more talents. He was entrepreneurial. He was hardworking. He did a good job. And what did Jesus say to him? He patted him on the back and he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Ditto on the fellow who had 2 talents. He had doubled his. But the man who had 1 talent is our intriguing focus. Jesus came to him and said, "How'd you do?" And maybe he was mad and miffed because he only got 1 talent. But he said, "Master, I know that you're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. So I was afraid of you. And I just buried my talent. So here it is." And do you think Jesus commended him? Did he pat him on the back and say, "Way to be a conservative investor"? Oh no, he didn't commend him. He blistered him. He said, "You wicked and lazy servant." Friend, make this note. You can be wicked for doing nothing because you are wicked when you are wasteful of the precious time and opportunities God has entrusted to you. He called him a lazy and wicked servant, and he assigned him, he took his talent away, and he assigned him to the place of darkness with the lost and the damned. So I'm here to tell you that when you do nothing, you can potentially lose everything. So being lazy, procrastinating, doing nothing is dangerous. Well, let's shift the gear. And let's come over to Roman numeral 2. Self-discipline must be developed. Self-discipline must be developed. It's that fruit of the Spirit that you grow and you nurture. The scripture says in Proverbs 22, verse 29 on your worksheet, "Do you see a man who is diligent in his business? He will stand before kings." Now, if you have a moment, turn over to 1 Corinthians 9. And Paul crafts an analogy using sports, which we can relate to in Alabama. Listen to this. Self-discipline must be developed like an athlete develops it. Verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games should exercise self-control in all things. They then do receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. Therefore, run in such a way as not without aim or purpose. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body, I discipline myself, I make it my slave, lest possibly after I've preached to others, I myself am declared disqualified." Now, friends, he is using a metaphor here that's saying to be disciplined is like a good athlete. Now, in Alabama, we know about good athletes. Anybody here heard of Derrick Henry? Anybody here heard of Derrick Henry? Yeah, I bet you have. Derrick Henry won the Heisman Trophy in the national championship. It's kind of a rare combination. And that certainly looks like a wonderful moment when you can pose with the Heisman when you've won the national championship. But what came behind that? How about getting up every morning at 4 o'clock? How about being at the gym to work out for 2 hours while everybody else sleeps? His workout is crazy. This guy didn't become a winner because he was sleeping in as a sluggard. He has this crazy workout. As a matter of fact, one feature of his workout is he takes these giant tires and he flips them over and over until he can't flip them anymore while he's wearing a weighted vest that weighs 80 pounds. And then if that's not enough, he takes an F-150 truck that's parked on an incline and he pushes it uphill and the parking brake is on. No, I was just kidding about that part. He probably could. I mean, this guy is a hoss. But did he get that way by staying in bed? Did he get that way by just hanging out and going to Dairy Queen? No. It took an immense amount of work to win a perishable trophy. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "Bodily discipline is good, but it's nothing compared to spiritual discipline because that will benefit you on earth and for eternity." So let me help you out. Let's examine real quickly your developed disciplines. Number one, here's how you do it. Wake up. Do a self-evaluation. Proverbs 6:9 says, how long will you lie there? When will you get up from your sleep? Let's evaluate quickly your self-discipline. Let me use 6 questions. Number 1, do you complete your assignments on time? Number 2, do you stay on task? Number 3, do you persist until the job is done? Number 4, do you ignore peer pressure? Number 5, do you control your temper, your time, and your tongue? Number 6, do you control your appetites? Your appetites for food, for entertainment, for pleasure, for sleep, for recreation, for material possessions. You see, a self-disciplined person needs to do an honest evaluation just to see if they are growing that fruit of self-control. Number 2, after we wake up, we need to get up. To get up, that means make a plan, because Proverbs 29 tells us, without a vision, the people will perish. You always follow an evaluation with a plan creation. You come up with a game plan to win the battle with your weight. If you want to weigh less, then come up with a reasonable plan. The bottom line is pretty simple. You've got to burn more calories than you take in, and you make a plan for that. If you want to defeat a weight problem, that's what you've got to do. You start with the plan. If you want to defeat a debt problem, essentially it's pretty simple. You've got to spend less than you take in. So you come up with a budget, you get rid of consumer debt and credit cards, and you come up with a plan. If you want to defeat biblical illiteracy, you come up with a plan. You say, I'm tired of not knowing God's word. I'm tired of not feeding my faith. And I'm going to start getting up about 20 minutes earlier. The first battle you win is called the battle of the alarm clock. That is one of the hardest battles anybody ever is victorious in. So you win the battle of the alarm clock, you get up early, and you say, God, I'm going to learn your word. You start in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is the front door of the Bible. And then you read it about 3 times. You go to Matthew, Mark, Luke. You master the New Testament. And if you'll start doing that every morning in just 20-minute increments, your spiritual life will start to metamorphosize. You'll start to gain new power and insight as you build your muscles of faith. You see, develop a plan of discipline and then follow through. Tom Landry was a very strong Christian and a famous coach for the Dallas Cowboys back in the good old days before they were losers. He put it like this. He said, my job as a coach is to make people do what they don't want to do so they can achieve what they've always dreamed of. And that's our goal together. Let's go to number 3. After you wake up and get up, link up. That just means get some help. The scripture says in Proverbs 11, verse 14, many advisors make for victory. God did not design you for isolation, but for connection. You see, we need Jesus and we need each other. So get you somebody that'll help you. If you're having trouble in academics, get you a study buddy. Have the humility to get you a tutor. If you're making C's, befriend somebody who makes A's and start studying with them, and they'll lift the level of your game. If you want to get out of debt, find somebody who is very successful financially, a Christian friend, a brother, and say, would you help me form a budget? If you have trouble in your marriage, don't settle for a mediocre marriage. Go for what God designed. He wants your marriage to be a foretaste of heaven on earth, not hell on earth. So find some people who have a very rich, healthy, successful marriage and ask for their mentorship, and they will give it with joy. So from praying to parenting, if you will humbly align yourselves with mentors, that link up can change the game. And then lastly, number 4, step up. That just means start today. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Don't hesitate. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. James 1:22 says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only who deceives yourself. You're not fooling the Lord. You're not fooling anybody else. You're just fooling yourself. Over the years, I've met a lot of people who have been filled with good intentions. And what do we know about good intentions? What paves the road to hell? Good intentions. And anybody can have them. Anybody can give themselves credit for what they think about. But will you be a doer of the word? I'll put it like this for you. Someday, some people live on what I call someday I'll. Someday I'll. Someday I'll start reading the Bible and grow my Christian faith. Someday I'll start witnessing. Someday I'll tutor a kid at the Nehemiah Center. Someday I'll start giving back and tithing. Someday I'll finish my education. Someday I'll start that business that God's helped me dreamed of. Someday I'll get in shape. Someday I'll get my temple in order. Someday I'll. Could it be today God is calling you to change addresses and move off of someday I'll and move into that new territory of saying today is the day when I quit playing stall ball, when I quit delaying, when I stop procrastinating and hesitating, when I delete the self-defeating behavior and I complete the person God has called me to be, and that is a victor in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your clear, simple, and practical word. I ask today that there would be people who would move off of someday I'll and get onto the new path of self-discipline. Lord, I pray that you would grow in us this vital fruit of self-control so that one day, someday sooner than we think, we can hear your eternal commendation of well done. Father, may your spirit be released in these moments, and I pray that we would act in obedience accordingly. I pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.